Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin says the U.S. Senate could cut a deal to end the government shutdown if the President and House would work with them. It's Thursday, October 2nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a conservative judge enters the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and a discussion with the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra CEO about a residency that showcases string instruments played during the Holocaust. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says lawmakers need to fight for extending health insurance subsidies as part of a deal to reopen the federal government. Baldwin told WPR she thinks the votes are there to reach a deal in the U.S. Senate. She blamed President Trump and Republicans in the U.S. House for not negotiating. Baldwin says she's aware of the risks to thousands of workers if the shutdown continues.
I'm very mindful of what happens during a shutdown, and I'm also very mindful about what happens when people lose their ability to have insurance coverage.
You can hear Senator Baldwin's full interview this morning on WPR's Wisconsin Today. Meanwhile, Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson blamed Democrats for the impasse. He wants Congress to pass his bill, which would automatically extend funding to avert future shutdowns. A conservative appeals court judge has entered the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. As Sean Johnson reports, Judge Maria Lazar is vowing to run a different kind of campaign.
The last two state Supreme Court races shattered national spending records as big donors spent millions in Wisconsin. In the race this April, the Democratic and Republican parties were among the biggest spenders. In a video announcing her campaign, Judge Maria Lazar said she was concerned by those elections, where voters were bombarded by political ads for a judicial position.
We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court.
Lazar is running to replace outgoing conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, who decided not to seek a second term. The candidate backed by Democrats is Madison State Appeals Judge Chris Taylor. Liberals currently have a 4-3 majority on the court. Conservatives are trying to keep it from becoming a 5-2 edge. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A hearing wraps up tomorrow on a challenge to key state permits granted to Canadian energy firm Enbridge. The company wants to reroute its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline around the Bad River Tribe's reservation. An administrative law judge could decide whether the roughly $450 million reroute moves forward. Enbridge wants to build a 41-mile segment around the reservation. This after the tribe sued to shut down the pipeline there. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued permits that the tribe and environmental groups later challenged. Enbridge expert Matt Horn says the DNR made the right call.
The state of Wisconsin DNR has made appropriate conclusions that there is not going to be a water quality violation following construction activities related to the project.
Tribal and environmental experts disputed that. The project crosses close to 200 waterways and 101 acres of wetlands. Ascension Wisconsin facilities are no longer in-network for those on United Healthcare plans. As Def Conquest Ware reports, this comes after a months-long dispute over reimbursement rates.
A spokesperson for Ascension says, United Healthcare's proposed reimbursement rates are not enough to account for rising healthcare costs from inflation. United Healthcare says Ascension demanded, quote, unsustainable price hikes that would increase costs for Wisconsin residents. Meanwhile, some Wisconsinites are already scrambling to look for new providers. Easton Lockwood is a school social worker in Milwaukee and a United Healthcare patient.
Now there's going to be a mass kind of exodus of all of us leaving our Ascension providers that we can no longer afford since the healthcare was cut off. And where are we all going to go?
United Healthcare provides insurance to more than 1.7 million Wisconsinites. Ascension has 165 locations across the state. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a discussion about the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra residency, known as the Violins of Hope. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, in the coming months, the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra will be hosting a residency that showcases a collection of 70 string instruments, almost all violins, owned and played during the Holocaust. The project is known as Violins of Hope. Now through January, the orchestra will host exhibitions and concerts in partnership with dozens of groups around the state. Some upcoming performances in the series include Ode to Joy with the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus and Orchestra this Friday through Sunday, and Fiddler on the Roof with the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, which runs from October 3rd through the 26th. Linda Adelstein is the CEO of the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, and Kira Jester is a senior at Brookfield East High School who will be playing the only cello in the collection. They talked with host Kate Archer Kent about the Violins of Hope on WPR's Wisconsin Today.
Kira, can you tell us a bit about the history of this cello that you have the honor of getting to play this season?
Yeah, so this cello that I have the honor of playing is from the Holocaust. It says that it was built, I think, in the late 1890s, and they found this in the Palestine Orchestra, where then they donated it to the Violins of Hope.
What does it feel like for you to play it?
Honestly, for me, I have a mixed emotions of sadness and hope. It's definitely a privilege to get to play this cello and an honor because I get to play a cello with such powerful history. So it really just helps me, I think, deepen my connection with these past individuals who played this and helps me see that they had all this, all their resilience that they faced through this horrible time, and kind of reflect on this horrible time in history and hope that it can never repeat itself.
Kira, before the season started, the Youth Symphony did travel to Poland and the Czech Republic, and students saw a concentration camp firsthand. What did you experience on this trip, and to play and to perform on this trip?
Yeah, I experienced so many emotions, whether it was getting to play in Smetana Hall and feeling this sense of proudness and getting to play with my peers in these historical halls that are just beautiful, and then also the sadness of going to this concentration camp and seeing all these horrible places that people had to suffer.
It makes me wonder, Linda, whether these students, these young people, how their musicianship might be changing as they go through this experience that's surrounding Violins of Hope.
One doesn't see these instruments or touch these instruments without being touched by their own stories. As any instrument is played, it begins to take on the story and the history and the personality of its musician. And so knowing when one looks at these instruments and then picks them up, there's so much more than just the wood and the string. Mm. And as our musicians pick them up and they play them, they begin to bring forth the stories and the experiences of the people, of all the people who played them before them. And they begin to take on the personality now of our musicians as they play them.
Linda, can you talk about what selections, the music for this special season, and what will unfold for audiences when they come to the Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra concert?
So there will be, there are more than 60 partners throughout the state of Wisconsin who will be presenting programs over the next 5 months. There will be more than 80 different events. And so each of these programs are different. And they include music by composers that each organization has chosen to represent the stories of and the experiences of the instruments and the stories of hope and resilience, and in some cases, despair that these instruments represent. You know, some of the people who played these instruments didn't come home. And so as specifically for the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, the repertoire that is that we've chosen represent all of those themes. So it's quite varied. We have exhibitions and community conversations, and we'll have both the instruments played and on display in various locations around the state.
You can find the full interview about Violins of Hope at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Pretty warm today, lots of sunshine with highs in the 70s and 80s. Clouds start to build overnight. We could possibly see a few spotty showers with lows in the 50s and 60s. Really warm tomorrow with highs in the 80s, even approaching the 90s in the south. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.